Good morning. Today's daf is Zavachim daf Tzadi Ches. We left off Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Shragi Brill, Lezecha Nishmas, his mother, Chayefega Bas Rab Yona Leib HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is observed today. We thank Shragi very much for the sponsorship, and we hope his mother's neshama has an aliyah in the schus of our learning. Thank you very much, Shragi. So again, we left off Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. We had seen yesterday the halacha that if a piece of korban meat is cooked in a pot with another piece of meat, and the pieces of meat touch in a way so that there's a blia, so that some of the meat is incorporated into the other meat, then basically the second piece of meat takes on the stringencies as the first piece of meat. And we had learned that halacha lagabe a korban chatas. So what we had asked yesterday was, how do we know that halacha applies to all other karbanos as well? How do you know it's not only a chatas? And so we had cited the Gemara, Zos HaTorah, we had cited the Pasuk rather, Zos HaTorah, La'ola L'mincha L'chatas L'ashram L'milum L'zevach L'ashlamim. And we wanted to say, Zos HaTorah, Rashi explained, it means Torah Achas, there's one halacha. So what we learned from here is that even though there are certain halachas that are written only legabe some of the karbanos, really those halachos apply to all of the karbanos equally. So obviously the reason that we're bringing this down is because we have the halacha of the two pieces of meat that touch each other with the blios, that's written by chatas, but it applies everywhere else equally. Today, and this takes us through the end of this perek, we are going to talk about the various halachos that are written legabe only one karban, but apply to all of the karbanos equally on account of this limud. Then we get to the next perek, we get to the 12th perek of Maseches Vachim on Tzadi Ches Amud Beis in the middle, and hopefully we'll see the Mishnah of that in the beginning of the next perek. And the next perek is called Tvul Yom. We are going to talk about the various types of karbanos, the various types of kohanim, rather. I have to lose that train of thought. The various types of kohanim who are eligible to eat in karbanos. Certain types of kohanim are eligible, certain types of kohanim are not eligible. Does it depend on whether they're able to do the avoda or not? So we'll see that. That's going to be the topic of the Mishnah that begins the next parak. So we left off Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. So let's actually back up to three lines above where the wide lines begin, and we'll repeat what we learned yesterday super quick. So it says, Ashkechan chatas to miskadish bebalua. So we know that a chatas is miskadish bebalua, the halacha that we saw in the Mishnah, that if you have two pieces of karbanos in the pot and the pieces touch each other, the second piece takes on all the trinities of the first piece, that we learned by chatas. Shar kachem inolah, and how do we know that all other kachem have the same halacha? Says the Gemara, Mar Shmuel Mishom Rebbe Lazar, Zos HaTorah. We have this pasuk, Zos HaTorah. La'olah l'mincha l'chatas l'ashram l'amimum l'azevach l'shlamim. And we know, therefore, that all of the karbanos have the same halacha, even though the halacha may be written only legabe one karban. And which halachos do we learn from all of these karbanos mentioned in the pasuk? So first up is ola, la'ola, ki ola. Ma ola tu'una kli, just like an ola requires a kli, af kol tu'una kli. So too, all karbanos require a kli. So says the Gemara, my kli, what kind of kli are we talking about? Ilema mizrak, if we're talking about a bowl that's used for Kabbalah Saddam, that after you shech the karban, you receive the blood in a bowl. So b'shal meitzibur namiksiv behu. So we don't learn this from Ola necessarily. We see that there is a requirement that you accept that you receive the blood in a kli, also by Shal Meitzibur, because it says by Shal Meitzibur, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam, that Moshe would accept, where Moshe would receive half of the blood, Vayasem Ba'aganos, and he would put them in bowls. Ela Desakin. Rather, what the kli that we're referring to over here is that the ola requires a knife. What knife are we talking about? So we're talking about the knife of Shechita. So there happens to be a machlokas whether the knife of Shechita has to be a kli shares, and what we're saying is that the ola tuuna kli, that the knife that you use to shech the ola has to be a kli shares, or some say that it doesn't necessarily have to be a kli shares, but the chiddush is that it has to be a knife. It has to be a knife. Of course it has to be a knife. What else are you going to shecht with? No, la'afuke, if you're dealing with chulin, you need to shecht with something that's sharp and smooth. So you could technically shecht with a reed that's very sharp or with a stone. So the chiddush is that by kachim, even though you don't necessarily require a kli shareis, the implement that you're shechting with has to be an actual knife. And how do we know by an ola that you have to shecht with an actual knife? Ola gufam in olan. Where do we see this by a carbon ola? Because it says, Vayishlach Avram es yado, vayikach es amacheles. By Akedas Yitzchak, it says that Avram extended his hand, and he took the knife. That's what macheles is. Bahasam olahu. And over there, Yitzchak, had the Akedah gone through, Yitzchak was going to be an ola. And how do we know this? Because at the end of the story, we all know, is obviously Avram did not kill Yitzchak. Rather, he let him go, and he saw the ayil, and it says vayaleyu laola tachas beno, that Avram Avinu brought the ayil as an ola tachas beno. So we know that Yitzchak was going to be an ola. We know that by the Akedas Yitzchak says that Avram took a knife. That's the makar, that by an ola you require a knife, and just like we learned that by ola, so too we require the knife by all other kachem as well. Mincha, now what do we learn from mincha? So ma mincha in an achelas ela lezichrei kuna, just like a mincha is only eaten by zichrei kuna, afkal, also all other karbanos, einam ne'echalin ela lezichrei kuhuna, are only eaten by zichrei kuhuna. So the Mefarshim point out that kol is obviously lav dafka, because it's not all karbanos that are eaten by zichrei kuhuna. V'haraya, certain karbanos like an ola are not eaten by anybody at all, they're kula kolil, and you have other karbanos, namely kachem kalim, which except for the bechar, which may be eaten by any Yisrael, by any Jewish person who is tahar. So therefore, the Mefarshim explain that when we say that just like a mincha is only eaten lezichrei kuhuna, also other karbanos are only eaten lezichrei kuhuna, that also other karbanos only includes other karbanos that can be eaten and where the Torah doesn't specify who eats them. So if you have a karban that's eaten, but the Torah doesn't specify who eats the karban, the baseline rule, the assumption is that only zichrei kuhuna are allowed to eat that karban. So maihi. So lezichrei kuhuna. So also other karbanos are only eaten by zichrei kuhuna. So maihi. So what other karban are we talking about? Ichatas va'asham. If we're talking about chatas va'asham, behediyak sivu. But it says mafurish in those psukim, and the psukim lagabe chatas and anashim, that only zichrei kuhuna are allowed to eat those karbanos. Kol zachar bar kohanim yochlenu v'ishal meitzibur. And if you want to say, oh no, we're talking about a shlamim that can only be eaten by zichrei kuhuna, may ribuya dekraasi. Well, we learn that from a ribuy in the pasuk b'kodesh hakodeshim tochlenu kol zachar, that all zachar, and here it's meaning it's talking about zichrei kuhuna, eat the shalmei tzibur in the kodesh hakadoshim. V'achaloso limed al shalmei tzibur she'ena nechalan ela lezichrei kuhuna. So we learn over here from this pasuk of b'kodesh hakodeshim tochlenu kol zachar, the carbon may only be eaten by zichrei kuhuna. So why are you telling me that the carbon can only be eaten by zichrei kuhuna? And we learned that as a limud from mincha in this pasuk. By chatas and asham, it says it explicitly. And by shalmei tzibur, we have another ribuy by shalmei tzibur. Says the Gemara, tanoi ikad nafka lemeacha, ikad nafka lemeacha. Yeah, in a chenami, it's machlokas. Flipping over to tzadi chasam and aleph, that some people learn from the ribuy by shalmei tzibur, and others learn from the reference to mincha in this pasuk over here. So some and some, it depends. It's a machlokas. Says the Gemara chatas. Now we're on the second line, tzadi chasam and aleph chatas. And what do we learn out from chatas? Machatas miskadeshes bibalua, af kol miskadeshes bibalua. This is the reason that we started this whole nimud, that just like a chatas is miskadesh bibalua, so too other karbanos are miskadesh bibalua. If they're cooked in a pot with another piece of meat, the karban that's cooked in the pot imparts its status of kedusha to the other meat as well. Rashi points out over here, it's Rashi about three lines down in the skinny lines, Machatos mekadesh bebelua v'afal gav de bemincha nami ksiv, even though by a korban mincha it also says, kol asher yiga bo yikdosh, the miskadesh is bebelua, that by a mincha it also says, whatever touches the mincha becomes kodesh, and from there we learn also the inyan of miskadesh es bibalua, itzrich lakushinu lechatas. We have to learn this klal generally from chatas, and we can't rely on that halacha that's learned legabe mincha. Why? The mimincha la matzah yalfi, we can't learn it out from mincha. The ikulameimar lo iskash lamincha elalinian zichrei kahuna. Because maybe we could say the only comparison to mincha is that the mincha has to be eaten by zichrei kahuna, which is the lima that we just saw. Avalinian balua, the mincha dafka. However, I might think that the lagabe the halacha of balua, it's not written by mincha and intended to apply by all other kabanos. It's written by mincha and intended to apply only to mincha. Why? Derechicha lemivla aval shar kachim lo, because a mincha is soft. And when something is soft, it's much more likely and it's much more mistaber, I understand much more easily why there could be blios, because it's soft and everything mushes together. But if you have a piece of meat that's not mushing together, it's simply touching each other, I might think maybe it's not miskadesh as babalua. That's why we learn this halacha, says Rashi, from Chatas. Chatas, just a hunk of meat, but it's miskadesh as babalua. So too, that halacha applies to all other karbanos. Asham, back in the Gemara, Asham, three lines down. What do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham ain't shpir vishilia kadosh. Just like by an Asham, the fetus of an Asham and the amniotic sac of an Asham is not kadosh. Why? Because an Asham is only from a male animal, and a male animal doesn't have any fetuses inside, doesn't have any amniotic sac inside. Afkol ain't shpir vishilia kadosh. Kadosh bo. And therefore, by all the other karbanos, even where you have female karbanos, the amniotic sac and the fetus are not kodesh. Ksavar, because this mandiyamar holds, that vlados kachim bav yasanhin kadoshin, that the vlados of kachim only become kadosh when they're born. So in other words, don't get the wrong impression. It doesn't mean that if you have an animal that was sanctified, that the fetus is fit to be used. No, the fetus is not fit to be used. The question is, does the fetus have sanctity while it's still in the mother's womb, or does it only have sanctity, does it only have kedusha when it's born? So this man, the Amar, says that kol zman that it's in the mother's womb, it doesn't have sanctity. When it's born, it takes on a level of kedusha. And this man, the Amar, also holds v'danin efshar mishi'i efshar. And we learn the status of something that's possible from something that's impossible. Again, because the makor for this halacha, the basis for this halacha, is asham. And from asham, which is a male animal, we learn that when the fetus is in the mother, the fetus is not kadosh. All right, but an asham can't have a fetus because an asham is a male animal. But that's the point. We can learn efshar, we can learn the halacha that would apply when you have a female animal that's capable of having a fetus or amniotic sac. And we learn that halacha from asham, which is incapable of having a fetus. And that's the way Rashi explains that the vlad therefore is kadosh only when it's born, not when it's in its mother's stomach. And done in efshar, mishi'i efshar is nekevos mezcharim, that we learn the halacha that applies by nekevos to the halacha that applies from zecharim, even though this halacha obviously is an impossibility legabe zecharim, because zecharim don't get pregnant. And Rashi just points out over here that again, we have to be careful. We're not totally excluding a fetus from Kedusha, because the halacha is that if you're Makdish an animal as a korban and the animal is pregnant, you have to bring the baby as a korban as well. The point is that it's not holy, it's not kodesh until it's born. It doesn't have the status of kedusha when it's remaining inside its mother. Ay miluim. Now we're talking about the miluim, and the miluim are the karbanos that they brought in the shivas yemei miluim for the mishkan. The ma miluim mosreim bisreifa, just like miluim, the nosar of those karbanos have to be burnt. Ve'ein balei chayim b'mosreim, and if they had any extra animals consecrated that ultimately did not have to be used as a karban, those animals did not have the status of nosar legabe the halacha that they had to be burnt. Afkol mosreim b'sreifa, also other karbanos, the extra animals, the extras with sreifa, the leftovers burnt. Ve'ein balei chayim b'mosreim. However, the balei chayim are not actually burnt. In other words, and what are we talking about? Balei chayim by mosreim. So first of all, Rashi points out that there were no extra animals by the miluim because they set aside the exact number of animals that they needed. So there were no extra animals. So the only nosar by the miluim that possibly could have existed is the animals that were shechted had to be eaten within a certain amount of time, like the din of all other karbanos. And if the meat wasn't eaten by a certain time, then the meat would become nosar. Rashi points out, by a regular karban, let's say if you have a guy who's chayev achatas or he's chayev an asham, and so he separates, instead of one animal, he designates two animals, because he designates one animal ba'achrayas, or he designates an animal, then the animal is lost, and then the first animal is found. So that's considered to be a bal chai, it's a live animal, that's nosar, it's left over. It doesn't mean it was left over after it's a lot of time to be eaten because the animal is not shechted yet, but what it means is that it's left over in that it's not necessary, because the guy designated more animals than he actually needed. So what we learned from Miluim is, just like by Miluim, the nosar is burned, but if there were any leftover live animals, those live animals don't have to be burned. So too, the halach is, if a person designates two animals as a chatas because he has one ba'achrayas, or if the chatas is lost and then it's found, there are halachas that yiruach yisayv, or you have to let it graze until it becomes a balmum, and then you have to sell it and use the money for other karbanas, but there is no halacha of burning a nosar, where the nosar that we're talking about is a live animal. Okay, shlamim. Now the next karban that's mentioned here in the pasuk is shlamim. What do we learn from shlamim? Ma shlamim mefaglim umispaglim, af kol mefaglim umispaglim. Just like by a karban shlamim, they're mefagel umispagel. And what does that mean? So Rashi says, mefaglim es hanechasim, that the shlamim, if you have intent while you're doing any of the avodos of a karban shlamim, to eat the karban chutz lizman, or to burn the karban on the mizbeach chutz lizman, then they're also mefagel, Rashi says, es hanesachim. The nesachim that come with the shlamim are also pasul. Shemchishe bezevach, that if you had a machshava on the zevach, on the karban, even the nesachim, even the accompaniments to the karban are pigul. Umishamachi yalef mishlamim dikur pigul ksivbe. And Rashi says, why do we learn this halacha from shlamim? The halacha of pigul, din pigul, applies to all karbanos, because the ikur pigul that we saw way earlier in the mesechta is written legabe shlamim. So in other words, it's a mefagel umispagel. The shlamim itself becomes possible if you have a makshavas pigul. And the psul extends not only to the actual karban, but to the accompaniments to the nesachim that are brought with the karban. So says the Gemara, b'masnisa tana mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has a slightly different limud over here, comparing all of the karbanos to each other and learning certain halachos from the specific references to the karbanos here. So b'masis is on a mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, mincha, ma mincha miskadesh es bibalua, just like a mincha is miskadesh bibalua, af kol miskadesh es bibalua, also other karbanos are miskadesh bibalua. So Rashi that we saw earlier already alluded to the fact that the din of miskadesh es bibalua is written by mincha, and Rashi had explained to us already why in that case we learn it from Chatas and not from Mincha, but now the Gemara is going to go through it. Vitzrich lemitle mincha, vitzrich lemichtav Chatas. And we need to be taught the halacha of Miskadesh's Babalua by Mincha and by Chatas. Why? The Yashmina Mincha, if we would only learn the halacha by Mincha, the Aidi derechicha mivla, that since a Mincha is soft, there is the possibility to extend the Balua, that one can take Balias from the other. Aval Chatas, say Malo, but by Chatas, which is only a hunk of meat, maybe I would think that they can't transfer the Balias. The Yashmina Chatas, and if we only would have learned this halacha by Chatas, Mishum de Kriri, because by Chatas it penetrates. Why does it penetrate? Because the chalev of the chatas penetrates deep into the basar of the other animal, that is being cooked in the pot, along with the chatas. Aval mincha imalo, but by mincha, where there is no sort of like very, very strong penetrating fat, then I might think that the halacha would not apply. Tzricha. Therefore, I require both of these, halachos. And the Mefarshim point out, so if we have the halacha by chatas, and we have the halacha by mincha, so why isn't this the phenomenon that we know as shnei ksuvim abam keachad? and we have Shnei Ksuvim Abam Kechad Ein Melamdin. The general halacha is if something is taught to me only once, then that halacha applies generally. But if something is taught to me twice, then I assume that the Torah meant this halacha to apply only in the limited circumstances where it was actually taught to me. Because the baseline is that it applies everywhere. But if you're telling me the same thing twice, then obviously it only applies where you're telling me. So they say, no, the reason that the Gemara goes through the Srichasa is to tell me it's not Sheikh Subham Abam Kechad. I need these two times. I need to be taught these two times because I might think that each instance has an attribute that the other lacks. And that's why we go through this trichasa. That's why there's a requirement that we be taught this halacha twice. So it's not considered shnei ksuvim abam kechad. And therefore, we can learn that this same halacha applies to all other karbanos as well. Now, again, back in the way Rabbi Akiva learns this, that chatas, so according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns the inyan of blios from mincha, what does he learn from chatas? So chatas, ma chatas, ein abaya lemina chulin, just like chatas only comes from an animal that's chulin, in other words, not meiser, uveyom, and it can only be brought during the day, uveyado ayamanis, and it can only be the avoda, the shechita has to be done with the right hand. Afkal, also all other karbanos, ein abaya lemina chulin, they only come from chulin, again, not from meiser sheni, ubayom, ubiyado ayamanis, and they must be performed with yado ayamanis. And the Rashi points out, because by chatas it says, etzpa and kahuna. And we saw way earlier on Daf Kav Dalid that kamokam shenemar etzpa v'kahuna ein eliyamin, that any time we learn about the avoda and the psukim, and the avoda and the pasuk uses the word etzpa and kahuna. So we know that whenever the pasuk says etzpa and kahuna, it means that the kohen's using his right hand to do whatever we're being told in the pasuk. So says the Gemara now, v'chatas minolan, and how do we know that by chatas you need etzpa and kahuna? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Kra, v'ikriv aron espara chatos asher lo. So we learned the first halacha was that it has to be, the first halacha is that it has to be bamin achulan. So mishalo v'lo mishal tzibur, that it has to be brought from his own personal collection. It has to be brought from his own wealth, from his own animal, and not from the animal of tzibur, v'lo mishal tzibur, and not from something owned communally, v'lo mishal meiser. Nor can it be something that came from Meiser. And that's the case, even if you hold like the Mandi Amar, that Meiser Sheni is Maman Hedyot, there's a Machlokas in the Gemara, famous Machlokas, whether Meiser Sheni is considered to be Maman Gavoa or Maman Hedyot, is it really considered consecrated or is it considered that it's yours? Even according to the Mandi Amar that says it's Maman Hedyot, still you're not allowed to use Meiser Sheni money for a carbon. It's got to be your own personal money. Beyom, how do we know that the chatas has to be shechted during the day? Mi beyom tzavaso nafka. We learned that from mi beyom tzavaso. It says yom in the pasuk. Beyom tzavaso nafka. How do we know that the karbanos are brought during the day? So we have a totally separate pasuk that says mi beyom tzavaso. So we don't learn it out from chatas. So kidi nasfa. No, it says that pasuk unnecessarily because we already learn out from chatas. Beyado ayamanis. Biyadu ayamanes mi the Rabba Barchana nafka. Yadu ayamanes we learn now from Rabba Barchana. Diyama Rabba Barchana amar Resh Lakesh. Kamokom shenemar etzba kahuna. Anytime it says etzba and kahuna, eino ela yamin. It means only the right hand. So says the Gemara. Yeah, kadinasva. Yeah, we also learn that halacha unnecessarily again because we all learn that out. We all learned that out either from Chatas or from these other Makoros, but one of them is unnecessary. Viba Seymour, maybe you want to say Savala Karev Shimon. Maybe he also like Rev Shimon, Diyamar Etzpa Loboy Kahuna, where it says the word Etzpa, it means the right hand, even if it doesn't say the word Kohen. However, Kahuna Boy Etzpa. If it says the word Kohen in the Pasuk, we don't necessarily know that it's got to be with the right hand unless it also says etzba in the pasuk. Ah, so in that case, why do we learn it out from chatas? Because by chatas it says etzba and kahuna. So the fact that by chatas it says etzba and kahuna, from there I learned that just like by the makar that it says etzba and kahuna requires the right hand, even other kabanos where it only says kahuna, where it only says etzba, still the halacha is that the avoda has to be done with the Kohen's right hand. All right, so Asham. Now we learn from Asham. What do we learn from Asham? According to, again, Rabbi Akiva, Ma Asham Atzmosav Mutarim. Just like by an Asham, its bones are mutter. And what does it mean, its bones are mutter? Rashi points out here, four lines up, Lasos Meam Kalim, to make Kalim, Anishamati, Sharei Nechal Lekohanim, Venoser Bat Somos, Lo Shayich, Elabedavar Hanechal. And because the Asham is eaten to the Kohanim, and no servat and no sir is not shayich by atzamos. The question is, why aren't the bones of the asham no sir? How could they be fit to be used as kalim after the zman achila of the asham? Aren't the bones no sir? Rashi says no, because no sir applies only to the parts of the animal that can be eaten. The bones can't be eaten, therefore the bones are fit to be used, and you can make them into kalim. So says the Gemara, af kol atzmos of mutarim. Also by all other kabanos, the atzamos of the karban are mutter. So Amar Rava. So Rava says like this: Pshitali, that now all of a sudden a non sequitur. We go back to the halacha that we saw in the beginning of the perek, which is called dam chatas. And now we're going to talk about dam chatas again, just to quickly sum up. Right. So we're shifting our focus, and just to ground us again. The halacha that we began the perek with was: if you have the blood of the chatas that spatters on the beged of the kohen, the beged requires kibbutz. You have to wash out the dam chatas. So now he says, pshitali dam chatas lamata. If the blood of, let's say this kohen is super messy, his begadim are very, very stained. So you have a dam chatas lamata, meaning on the beged there's dam chatas, v'dam ola lamala. And then on top of the stain of the dam chatas, he gets blood of the ola on top of that stain. Saton kibbutz. So he says, Rava says it's pashut. Then in that situation, the garment requires kibbutz. Why? Because the dam chatas is literally on the beged, and that's the halacha that we began the perek with. You get dam chatas on the beged, it requires kibbutz. Now, boy, Rava, how about the following? Dam ola lamata. Let's say first the kohen stains the beged with the blood of an ola, v'dam chatas lamala, and then on top of the blood of the ola, the kohen also gets dam chatas. So now the dam chatas isn't coming into direct contact with the beged, but it's there. So what's the halacha? So mahu? So mishum nogeahu v'han nogea. Is it an inyan in negia? And over here, the dam chatas is definitely touching the beged, because they're both liquid. The dam chatas is mixing with the dam ola, and some of the dam chatas is definitely touching the beged, and therefore it requires kibbutz. Odilma mishum balua uva halobala. Or maybe the reason that you may require kibbutz is because of balua, and over here there is no, and over here there are no blios. And there are no blios, and Rashi points out, aval eina nivla daha savale bebalua dam ola. Because the beged can only accept in its fiber a certain amount of liquid, and it already was fully saturated by the ola blood that it's soaked in. So it can't soak in any more blood. So even though the blood of the chatas is touching it, it's not being incorporated, it's not being soaked into the beged. So that's the kasha. And then Hadar Pashta Dein Tunin Kibbutz, he then establishes it doesn't require kibbutz, because the halacha of kibbutz is an inyan in balua, it's not an inyan in negia. Okay, so then the Rava has another question. So Amar Rava, again, having to do with stained clothing, but not having to do with kibbutz, having to do with chatzitza, if you have to be tovel those clothing. So, so Amar Rava, Pshitali, so it's clear to me like this. Dam al bigdo, if you have blood on your beged, then chotzeitz, then it's going to be a chatzitza. And Rashi points out, this is l'inyan tefila bebeged shenitma, this is legabe tefila in a beged that became tameh. So if the beged became tameh and it requires tefila b'mikvah, but there's blood on the beged, that blood is going to serve as a chatzitza. And just to ground us in the halachas of chatzitza, so midaraisa, you don't have a chatzitza unless it's rubo umakbid, unless the foreign item is covering robe of the beged and your makbid. However, midrabanan, we say it's chotzeitz if either rubo or makbid. So even if the blood is not covering robe of the beged, if your makbid on the blood being there, then it's going to serve as a chatzitza. You're not going to be able to be tovel the beged until you get rid of the blood. So, if a regular person has blood on his beged, that's going to be a chatitza, because a regular guy is bothered when he's walking around with blood on his clothing. However, vim tabachu, if he's a butcher, in a chotzeis, then he's not going to be chotzeis because he's not makpid, and everything is totally on kapeda. Rabav al bigdo, if a person has grease on his beged, so chotzeis, that's going to be a chasitza, because a regular person minds if he has grease on his beged. Vimocha rabavu, and if, however, if he sells grease, then in a chotzeis, because that's what he does. That's what he does for a living, and therefore he's not going to be makpid. Now, boy, Rabba, so Rabba has the following question. Dam v'rabav al bigdo mahu. Let's say the guy is a total mess, and he has blood and grease on his beged. So now, what's the halacha? So im tabachu, so if he's a butcher, tepekle mishum rabav, then you should say it should be a chatzitza, because he also has the grease on his beged. V'im mocha rabavu, and if he sells grease, tepekle mishum dam, then it should be a chatzitza, because he has blood on his beged. So whatever it is, it should be a chatzitza, because even if he's not makbid on one of the things, l'chora, he's going to be makbid on the other thing. So says the Gemara, no tzricha, the lo tzricha, the avid havaha. So the question is, the reason that Rav had a question is, let's say the guy's a jack of all trades, he's a utility man. So he's a butcher, and he also sells grease on the side. So he's used to working with both of these things. So achada lo kapid atarte kapid. So maybe, even if he's not makbid on any of these things standing alone, because he's a butcher, so he's used to blood, and he sells grease, so he's used to grease, and he's not going to be makbid on any of them alone, odilma atarte nami. But maybe he's makbid on both of them together. Odilma atarte nami lo kapid. Or maybe no, if this is what the guy does for a living, so he's a butcher, and he also sells grease, then maybe he's not going to be makbid on any of these things. So teku, so the Gemara leaves it as a suffix. Sahadron alach damchata, so we finished the 11th perek, and now we begin the 12th perek of the, Masechta. So again, this perek is going to deal with the various types of Kohanim who can take part in the division of the Karban. So again, this Mishnah is going to be, this Mishnah is talking about the Kohanim who are roy to take parts of the Karban, and also the Ar. They all divide the Karban and the Solus of the Mincha, and the Chaz of Ashok of the Toda, and the Shlamim talks about the various Kohanim. Now, it's important to remember that even though we're talking about all of the Kohanim participating, really the Karbanos are distributed only to the base of the Mishmar that's serving on that day and at that time. So there were Chav Dalad Mishmaros, and each of the Mishmaros were broken into seven Bateyav, and on each day that a Mishmar was on duty, only one of the Bateyav would have the first right to receive the Karbanos. So those Bateyav, the member of that Beis Av, would have the right to receive the Karbanos, but after the member of the Beis Av receives the Karban, after that Kohen who's on duty receives the Karban, he's allowed to give his Chelik of the Karban to any other Kohen that he wants, provided that the Kohen is not one of the people mentioned in the Mishnah. So, says the Mishnah, Tzvul Yom, if you have a Tzvul Yom, Umechusar Kippurim, or if you have a Mechusar Kippurim, in other words, somebody who requires Tzvila and Erev Shemesh, or somebody who requires a bringing of a Karban, in other words, because he's Tamei, so Eino Cholkim Bekachim Lechol Le'erev. They don't get a share of the Kachim to eat at night. And the Chiddush is, says Rashi, they don't get a share of the Kachim even to eat at night. And even though at night they're going to be fit, they're going to be tar, because he's only a Mechusar Kippurim, or he's only a Tzvul Yom, meaning when he goes to the mikvah and he has Erev Shemesh, he's going to be fit to eat the Karban. But even though he's going to be able to eat the Karban at night, because he's not roy to eat the Karban at the time of Shechita, he's not eligible to participate in the Karban. The Gemara is going to explain why. Onain nogeya, we delete the word eno. So an onain, if a person lost a relative and he's rachmana l'slan, onain nogeya, he could touch a karban, unlike the other guys mentioned initially in the Mishnah, because unlike the Tful Yom and the Mechusar Kippurim, the onain is not tamei, so he's allowed to touch a karban, veina makriv, but he can't do the avoda, veina cholek, lechol erev, and he also doesn't take a piece of the karban to eat at night, because he's in a state of aninus, and therefore he's not participating. Balei mumin, if the guy's a balmum, Bein balei mum in ovren, whether it's a temporary mum, bein balei mum in kavuin, whether it's a permanent mum, cholkim v'yochlin, they take a chelek in the korban, they take part of the ar and the basar, and they can eat what they take. So avalomak riven, but a bal mum can't do the avoda. And now the Mishnah is going to say something very perplexing. Kol she'ina roi la'avoda, anybody who's not roi for the avoda, ain't a cholek b'basar. He doesn't take a chelek in the basar. V'kol she'ain lo b'basar, ain lo b'oros. And anybody who doesn't take a chelek in the basar is also not going to take a chelek in the R. All right, so, and the Gemara is going to explain, what in the world are you talking about? You just told me that a balmum is allowed to take the carbon, take a share of the carbon, even though he can't bring the carbon. And literally in the next breath, you told me that anybody who's not roy to do the avoda can't eat the carbon. So what in the world are you talking about? The Gemara is going to deal with that. So what the Mishnah just said was anybody who's not roy for the avoda doesn't take a chelik in the basar. Bekol she'ain lo basar, and anybody who doesn't take a chelik in the basar ain lo ba'oros. He also doesn't take a chelik in the oros. Afilu tamei b'shas rikas adam. Vitar b'shas hektar chalavim, and even if you're tamei at the time of zrika, but you become tar by the time the emurim, the fats of the carbon are burned on the mizbeach, ain a cholek b'basar. You still don't take a chelek in the basar. Why? Shenemar hamakriv es dam hashlamim ves chelev mimnei aron lo siyeh shoka yamin lamana, because the pasuk is tole everything in hamakriv es dam hashlamim. So the punchline is you have to be roi to participate at the time that you do the avodas hadam. If you're disqualified when you're doing the avodas hadam, you don't get to share in the korban, even though you may be qualified later. The whole thing is contingent on whether you're qualified or disqualified at the time of the avodas hadam. All right, so let's stop here. The rabbi is back tomorrow. He's going to be giving two shiurim tomorrow, for tomorrow and then Sunday, Tisha B'Av's daf, and he'll pick up with the Gemara, God willing, tomorrow.